I often like to think about people who come and wander into this building for the first time on a Sunday morning, and particularly I like to wonder if they had never experienced a Christian worship service or a worship service of any kind, what would their experience be? I've often thought about that in the years, especially as I've aged, about people who are new to the faith. And I think it popped up into my brain this week, particularly because of the second part of the passage. I can't imagine if I was, for the first time, had never experienced the Christian church at all, and I hear about this guy named Jesus, and somebody says, hey, could I really want to be with you, I want to follow you, but I need to bury my dad. And he says, yeah, no, you don't get to. No way. Let the dead bury the dead. And if I was new to the Christian church and I heard that, I'm thinking, what are all these people doing here? And then the second part, or there's three actual voices in that story, but there's a second part and says, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to follow you. I really believe in what you're teaching and all that. But I just need to go home and say farewell if I'm going to follow you and for the rest of my life be with you. And Jesus says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking, if I'm a first-time visitor to a Christian church and I heard that Jesus is a jerk, I'm out of here. It's really hard as folks who are trying to live out our faith and trying to decide how it is that we can live in community and follow this guy named Jesus when it's hard, when the scripture or the words that we use don't fit the modern ideas and the modern language. And my struggle is, and my argument for all of you today will be, if you just stick with me, particularly that person who's never heard or Jesus, or at least has never been in a Christian worship, Jesus is actually helping everyone look through living their lives through a lens of love. And what you heard is based on this whole story of who Jesus is. This part of Luke, friends, is the beginning of the trip to Jerusalem to face the cross. And this is the beginning. Luke details it this moment on. If you remember the beginning of Luke, which I don't expect anybody to remember, the people in his home country, in his hometown, don't like what he has to say, and they reject him. Very similar to the Samaritan story, where Jesus comes into town, his face is planted toward the east, and so the Samaritans reject him. That's where James and John said, let me send thunder and destroy the whole place. That feels like a very Jesus-y thing, doesn't it? No, Jesus says, no. He rebukes James and John. He doesn't rebuke the village. He says, no, let's move on. Let's find our way to new places. So I think that this image of how do we see our lives using the lens of love, using these scriptures where Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. It actually is a wonderful passage in the sense of trying to live our lives fully. I say to folks often, lives are meant to be lived. They're not meant to be regretted. They are not to be apologized for. Lives are meant to be lived. I thought this might be helpful. There's a writing that's going on in a blogosphere, and there's a thing that many of us have been involved with here at Westminster called the Next Church. And a person who is involved in the Next Church, but he's beginning this sort of worshiping community, and it's very different, friends, than what you're experiencing here in this beautiful 1914 sanctuary. If you're starting a new community and a Christian faith now, the last thing you do is buy property and be responsible for upkeep and taking care of it. It's hard enough to form new faith communities. You don't want to be involved in being the building and things like that. So it's a very interesting time in the Christian church. We're trying to learn all these things in new ways. And this is what he writes. In my short tenure as an ordained minister of Word and Sacrament in the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church, and as a bivocational planting pastor of a new worshiping community that gathers in Charlotte's most iconic bar and entertainment venues. Now think about his location. Charlotte, North Carolina, iconic bar and entertainment venues. I have become keenly aware that the church is engaged in a daily skirmish. I like that word, skirmish, which pits a role against relevancy. The church I pastor knows the battle well. They're trying to do something new in an iconic bar scene, restaurant scene in Charlotte. When the brewery down the street promotes itself as being mission-driven, the brewery down the street is mission-driven. What is the church to do? When the coffee shop around the corner is crowned the neighborhood's favorite third space, what's the church to do? When atheist gatherings and AA meetings tout life-transforming engagement, what's the church to do? And when seven-minute TED Talks, if you don't know what a TED Talk is, it's some very smart person getting up in a pithy 7 to 18 minutes, changes a person's life by just viewing the YouTube video. And when the seven-minute TED Talks garner millions of clicks, views, and shares, what's the church to do? So I'm theorizing with you and arguing with you today, in the best sense of that word, that we are always, the church here at Westminster, churches are always helping people see their lives through the lens of love. So let's go back to the scripture, because what's the church to do? So we're going back to the scripture. And the scripture is saying, you, as you follow Jesus, make Jesus your most important priority. So at the 9 o'clock service today, there's a really struggle about how we do that. The folks there talk about the scripture passage that they've heard, and it's a really struggle because you've got toddlers, and you've got your children who's got needs. You've got aging parents. You may be an aging person. And the last thing that you want to do is add an obligation that Jesus is the most important priority. You have to make sure that people are taken care of, that children have fed. If you get 20 minutes alone, you are blessed on your knees. You don't want to pray. You just want to thank somebody that you got 20 minutes alone. And what's the church to do? I think the church is called, each of us, to say over and over again, God is calling you. God is calling you. It is a relationship question. And when you push God away, that's okay, because God is still calling you. It is not an equal relationship, friends. God loves us so much and continually calls us. The lens that we need to see about our lives is a lens of balance through God's eyes. This God that loves us, and that our most important priority is teaching. In the old day, maybe in the 1950s, the Presbyterian pastor, who would have been male, thank you very much, in 1950, the Presbyterian pastor would have said, "You are a sinner if you do not place God first in your lives." Look at what God says in this passage. God says, let the dead bury the dead. God says, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to have a home. You don't have a place to put your head. And if you follow me, do not look behind. You do not get to go and put your hand on the plow and look behind and see where you've been. You go forward. So if you don't make God the highest priority in your life, you are wrong, and the church is going to teach how wrong you are. And even back in the 50s, there were lots of good Presbyterian pastors and other mainline church pastors that were railing against that idea, that we need to view the image of our lives, our unbalanced lives, through the image of God's love. Hey, you, come, George, Susan, Amira, Frank, Susanna, come. And when you push away, God says, come on back to me. The balance of our lives is, yes, if you can place God first in your life on 100% continuity, good for you. I am celebrating you. But God celebrates the person who gives God presence 50% of time or 25% of the time. And that's really hard because we used to preach God wants you all the time, and I am continually going to preach that God wants your heart all the time. What's the most important commandment? Love your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. It's how we do the invitation. So I love this story. Eileen just told me the story, and I have her permission to use it. Eileen Parfrey is our parish associate. She's a brilliant thinker and speaker, and she sees life in so many interesting ways. So I didn't know you could get a speeding ticket by photo here in Portland. That was the first time I've heard that. And Eileen, who never breaks the rules, never, never breaks the rules, gets a speeding ticket because her car, she doesn't know how she was driving her car so fast that it got a speeding ticket. Out of body experience. So I didn't know this. You get a photo, there's a photo, and they can prove that you were speeding down McLaughlin Road, and you get a ticket. So if you've gotten a ticket in less than 3 years, meaning you haven't received a ticket for a while, you can actually get rid of that responsibility of having that ticket. Your insurance company doesn't find out if you go to a class. And Eileen had this unbelievable experience, and I'm going to call it a church experience, a healthy church experience. Because the person getting up did not say, "You stupid person for speeding." The teacher of the class to help these folks said, "Oh, you are here because you are such a good driver, and you haven't had a ticket forever, and you're going to learn today how to even be a better driver." Isn't that great news? Isn't that wonderful? Or do you miss the days when you were told how stupid you are for getting a ticket and don't do that again? I don't miss those days. I hope you don't. That's where the church is, the 21st century church. How do you view God, your life, through God's lens of love? And if you can't do it, because who really wants to take responsibility for being God-like? I get it. It really is, though, a call to live a balanced life. And friends, my argument today is if you can live your life through a balanced lens of God's love, you will choose to make God your highest priority. You'll want to live as if God is the most important thing in your relationships with your spouse, in your work life, with your children, with your family that's your biological family or your family that you get to choose. You'll want to live your life in that balanced way of God's love. And if you're going to be choosing to follow God through Christ, it's not easy. God never gives up on you. And you are called to put your head down and trust God. You are called to not worry about the dead and the past regrets, but to look forward. Let the dead bury the dead. You get that? Let the dead bury the dead. And if you choose to follow God and through the way of following Christ and living Christ's teachings, then you're not going to worry about going home and saying goodbye because you've already said your goodbye every time you say goodbye because you love these people because you're living in the image of God's love. You can go away knowing that your life is living its best moments. I do not, this is so frustrating, I do not want you to be exhausted by following God's teachings. I love the idea of what Eileen taught me this morning. The person stands up and says, "You are really doing well. It's so great that you got caught because now you can be better at it." Isn't that perfect for the way God works with us? Oh, now you made a mistake. This is great because now you can review your life and not worry about it, not live past it, but like, oh, I want to live better now. I'm going to choose these teachings so that when we hear that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you'll say, yes, I want that life. In the new church, we don't use the bad D word or the bad E word. You know what those are, right? Discipleship, ooh, we don't like that word. and E, evangelism. But this really is the call to encouraging folks to study God and to follow God's ways. And if you don't want to call it discipleship, I'm fine with that. If you don't want to call it evangelism and helping other people understand who God is in the world, I'm fine with that. Call it whatever you want. Just do it. For God's sake. Just do it. To God be the glory. Amen.